Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus Yeshua the Messiah and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
Spirit of God is a divine person, and He is the one that executes that which the Godhead throughout the ages have set to do. And so whenever you read about the Holy Spirit of God, God by His Spirit does all that which He have done historically, in the present day today, as well as in the future day. But what is unique about this present-day age in which we live in is called the Ecclesia, the called-out ones, the Jewish believers and Gentile believers in Yeshua, the Messiah, the church, the assembly. What we learn here, that now the Holy Spirit of God will not only come to do that which the Godhead do in this world, but the person of the Holy Spirit of God will come to indwell every believer in the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. Notice what we read in John 14 and verse 17. He, the Holy Spirit of God, is not merely an influence. He is not an it, but He is a person. As God the Son is a person, as God the Father is a person or a personality within the Godhead, so God the Holy Spirit. That's why the scripture is clear. We read, He will be the one that will abide with you forever. The world seeth Him not. The world neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him. For He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Now, notice it is interesting because throughout the generation in our people's Israel's history, the Holy Spirit of God did come and did minister to the people of Israel, but the Spirit of God never indwelt anyone throughout the history until the Messiah came to die and to be buried and to rise again. Only at that time He came to indwell every true believer who is part of the church, of the assembly, of the ecclesia. Why? Because now God the Son came, He became a man, He will live, He will die, He will be resurrected and ascended. And now we live in a unique day, unique era called the era of the assembly, the church age. Now, of course, it hadn't begun yet in John 14 because the church was not formed as yet. Jesus the Messiah hasn't died as yet. He will die. He will be buried and will rise again. And on the feast of Pentecost, Shavuot, the Spirit of God will come and will form that company called the Ecclesia, the called out one. The church began in Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Spirit of God came to indwell all believers. And so, that's why the Lord is so precise here. Yeshua said, He dwelleth with you. He's not yet in you, but He shall be in you. When He shall be in you, because the apostles already were guided by the Holy Spirit. They were born again. They were believers in the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah. They were believers in the God of Israel. Every true believer in every generation is born by God. The expression born again, of course, is a New Testament language, but everyone in every age who were ever forgiven of sins, he is born of the Spirit of God, even though he was not part of the church age. David said in days of old, take not thy Holy Spirit of God from me in the Psalm 51. Why? Because the Holy Spirit of God was one that was upon David, and David was a believer, a child of God, part of the nation of Israel. And every true believer in every generation was saved, forgiven, redeemed, born by the Holy Spirit of God. But in no other period of time in the history of humanity did the Spirit of God came to indwell a person as it is starting or will begin when the Spirit of God will come and come and form the body of Messiah in Acts chapter 2. You remember in Judges how we read Samson, for example, was a man that the Spirit of God used him. You remember the verse in Judges chapter 13. We read in verse 24 and 25 when Shimshon, Samson, have fell because of Delilah. It said, and the woman bare a son, and she called his name Samson, and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at a time in the camp of Dan between Tzorea and Taol. And you see, Samson was moved by the Holy Spirit of God, but Samson was not indwelled by the Spirit of God, as we have the promise here by the Lord Jesus the Messiah to the disciples in the upper room. So there are many verses that we can read in chapter 14 of the book of Judges. And there we read in verse 6, Judges 14 and verse 6, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. Notice that, very interesting. A little bit later on in verse 19, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. The expression is upon him, upon him, upon him. Alav, but not indwelled. He did not indwelled by the Holy Spirit of God. That only began from the time that Yeshua died, was buried, rose again, and sent the Holy Spirit of God to be the one that will indwell all true believers. Just to read to you in Judges chapter 14 and verse 19, where we read, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. In the Hebrew it says, Vatitzlach alav ruach Adonai. Vatitzlach means that the Spirit of God came mightily upon him. Titzlach alav, not titzlach betocho, alav, upon him. And that's why the scripture is very clear to tell us. This is wonderful because that is what the Lord is teaching the disciples. So now in these verses 16, 17, and 18, there is a promise for the disciples that the Spirit of God will dwell in them. And he is a person, not an it, but he. Even the Spirit of truth, verse 17, whom the world cannot receive because the world is blinded to the Messiahship of the Lord Jesus. They reject him, the world, because it seeth him not, neither do they know him. But you know him, for he dwells with you, because the Spirit of God dwelt with the disciples here and now when they were there with Yeshua the Messiah. As he was in every other generation in Israel's history, leading the people, in guiding them, and leading them into walking with him, victories after victories. But now he will come to be, he shall be in you, verse 17 at the end. And then I will not leave you comfortless, verse 18, I will come to you. In other words, even the Lord himself assured them that he will come unto them through the power of the Spirit of God, which will indwell each and every one that had followed after him. I just wanted to mention in these verses the person of the Holy Spirit of God. He will be the one that will come to indwell every true believer. Believers must glorify the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, and they are the one that to give him honor and glory, and their Spirit of God will be the one that will guide them and will instruct them. So he not only will dwell with you, but he shall be in you. And I believe, beloved friend, that it's very important to understand the person of the Holy Spirit of God. You remember what the Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus? He must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. You must be born again. So being born of the spirit is becoming a child of God. To remind you what Paul, Shaul, wrote later on to the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians, he wrote to them in chapter 12 and verse 13, for by one Spirit, namely the Holy Spirit of God, ye are all baptized into one body. It is by the Spirit of God that one is being placed, put into the body of Christ, the body of the Messiah. Beautiful to know this. So notice also, and I just really have to impress this upon all of us, my dear friend, that he will dwell and abide with you. Notice where there the Lord is assuring them in John chapter 14, he will dwell in you and he will dwell with them forever. He will not leave them. He will not leave them. He may abide with you forever. And so when it comes to salvation, a person that have truly have accepted the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, can never become unsaved. Once a person is truly a child of God, he can never become a person that is no longer a child of God. When sin comes into our life, and it does, into the life of God's people, what we need to do is to confess it. That's why we have the throne of grace. We need to come to the Lord. If you should confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if a believer does not confess his or her sins, they cannot enjoy their salvation. But they are surely belong to the Lord, and the Lord will chasten his own people. He will deal with us as he has dealt in every generation with his own people. But salvation and the indwelling of the Spirit of God is a gift of God that was given to every true believer. And that's why when the Lord said he will be with you forever, forever for the Lord is forever. He doesn't say he will be with you as long as you will be faithful, as long that you will never fail. No, he said he may abide with you forever. He will dwell with you and shall be in you. So sometimes one wonders about the truth of salvation. And here, beloved friend, it is very important to understand. The Lord already taught it earlier when he said in John 10, he said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they shall follow me, and I will give unto them eternal life. Not a short time life, not a certain time of life, as long as they are faithful, but I give unto them eternal life forever, and they shall never perish. And here we have the Holy Spirit of God shall be with you forever. This is so fundamental to understand, because sometimes one feels, am I saved? Am I a child of God? Am I born of the Spirit? Is the Spirit of God indwelt in me? And here we learn the lesson that the Spirit of God will dwell with the believer, abide with him or with her forever. But the believer can grieve the Holy Spirit of God. The believer can quench the Holy Spirit of God. But the believer never lose the person of the Holy Spirit of God to be indwelt in him once he or she truly, sincerely, truthfully have repented of their sins and became born of the Spirit of God. And so the beautiful passage here in verses 16, 17, and 18 is the assurance that the Spirit of God is dwelt with every true believer in the Lord Jesus the Messiah. Now, what is the difference between the church age and the days before when Israel, our people, were under the law? As I mentioned earlier, the Holy Spirit of God never indwelt in the believer in days of old as it is now after the Messiah came and died and paid for the sin of this world. And that's why we live in a unique age. But you see, David, as a believer in the age of the law, of the Torah, among our people of Israel, when he sinned, he did pray in repentance, saying in verse 11 of Psalm 51, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. You see, the Holy Spirit of God could come out of David because sin came into his life. But the Holy Spirit of God could not come out today from a believer because the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, just said in John 14, this Comforter will abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. But David was a believer, even though the Spirit of God came out of him, not allowing him to be used by God because of sin. Once he repented and confessed, he received forgiveness, and the Spirit of God continued to come upon him to lead him and to use him. But you see, how do we know that David was a child of God and he never lost his eternal relationship with God? Because it says in the next verse of Psalm 51, verse 12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. He doesn't say, restore unto me thy salvation, Yeshuatcha, no, but restore unto me the joy. You see, a believer that lives in sin, whether it is under the law before the Messiah came, or whether it is under grace when the Messiah came and died and was buried, whether it's under the history of Israel, the history of the church, a believer will never be able to have joy when he or she are living in sin. Once the sin is judged, confessed, repented before the Lord, then the joy is returning. But the difference is that in the days of old, in the days before the Messiah finished the work of redemption, the Holy Spirit of God came upon God's people, God's servant. And now, after the Messiah finished the work of redemption, he sent the Holy Spirit of God, and Ruach Elohim, the Holy Spirit of God, dwell in the believer, never to leave him forever. And so the promise that the Lord gives the disciples is that the Holy Spirit of God will be in you, and he will aid you in your life and in your ministry. And how do we need the help of the Spirit of God every day of our life, my dear brothers and sisters? The Holy Spirit of God is to guide us, is to instruct us, is to convict us. That is the ministry of the person of the Holy Spirit of God, as we learn from that in the Word of God. There's a very interesting verse that is found in Ephesians, the book of Ephesians. In the first chapter of the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul said to the believers at Ephesus, he said to them, chapter 1 and verse 13, in whom ye also trusted, namely in the Lord Jesus the Messiah, after that ye heard the word of the truth of the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye have believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Here's the sealing of the believer with the Holy Spirit of promise. But there is always a danger to grieve the person of the Holy Spirit of God. And that's why in Ephesians 4:30, the Apostle Paul said, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. To grieve a friend, to grieve the person of the Spirit of God, is possible when God's people are living in unjudged sin. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 19, Shaul Paul also said to the Thessalonian, quench not the Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 4, grieve not the Spirit. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, quench not the Spirit. When we grieve the Spirit or we quench the Spirit, there is no liberty and in no joy, the cloud above us, no liberty, no joy until we turn to the Lord in confession and repentance, and then the restoration come and God delight to restore his people back to a relationship, to an enjoyable relationship with him. Well, As we are returning now back to our study here in John chapter 14, in verses 19 to 24, Yeshua gives another assurance to the disciples that you can enjoy now the love of the Father, of God the Father. You know, all of us who the Lord blessed us with Abba, with Father, who love us and care for us. And here we find out that the believers can enjoy God the Father now when they are traveling here in this world with all the challenges that we have in our life. And so verse 19 and 20, God's love is shed abroad in our hearts by the Spirit of God, as Romans 5:5 tells us. And there was an impression, a manifestation of the Spirit of God that helps us to enjoy God the Father. Notice what we read in verse 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you, he said in verse 18. And then verse 19, he continued, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. He's giving them the assurance that because the Lord, after his death, will rise and he will remain alive and will be glorified, there is an assurance that because he lived, because the Lord Jesus lived, the believers, the disciples, will live also. And notice what he continued to say in verse 20. At that time ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. You notice he's encouraging his disciples that they will realize, notice he's telling them at that time is saying to them, you will know that I am in the Father, that ye are in me, continue, and I in you. He continues that he that has my commandment and keepeth them, he it is that love me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself unto him. You notice now that he draw the disciples to the love of God the Father. You know, the Father and love relationship is an amazing relationship. We read in Scripture the Proverbs. King Solomon said concerning the Messiah that I was his delight at all time. The Lord Jesus, the Messiah, before his incarnation, he was daily his delight, the delight of God the Father. But now in verse 20, he says in verse 20 and 21, the Lord is encouraging the disciples to know that he is in the Father, and that the disciples and all believers are in Christ, in the Messiah, and I, the Messiah, in you. In other words, there's a union between God, the Father, God, the Son, and the redeemed, those who belong to him. It's like a harmony and unity between all those that belong to the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. They are linked with God. Why? Because we are forgiven. We have been delivered. The Spirit of God have been indwelt in each and every believer. And there is a link between the children of God along with the Son and with the Father. And then he say in verse 21, he that has my commandment and keep them, he it is that love me. And he that love me shall be loved by my Father. And I will love him, and we, notice, we will manifest myself to him. So in other words, the love of the Father and the love of the Son is linked with the children of God, the redeemed. Amazing to know that we as believers are loved by the Father. The Father loved the Son, and that's why he sent him to redeem us. But the love of the Father towards the Son is the love of the Father also towards those that belong to him. Why? Because you are in me, he's saying to them, and I in you. Notice that he says in verse 21, He that has my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that really love me. You notice to obey the commandments of the Lord is important, because obedience is a problem. Actually, how sin came in is because of disobedience. To obey the commandments of the Lord is a sign of loving the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. And the one that loved the Son, obeyed the Son. You know, many times in our lives when we don't obey, we really don't express love towards our Lord Jesus, the Messiah. And that's why the Lord teaches us an amazing lesson, the importance of having the commandments of the Lord, keeping them, and it is an evidence, a proof that we belong to Him. One of the things that He commanded the disciples already in chapter 13, where He did tell the commandment, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one towards another." This is John 13, verses 34 and 35. And it is essential to love the believers, to love God's people. Now, we often fail in this, beloved brothers and sisters, as Israel in days of old, when there was friction between the nation of Israel, it grieved the heart of God. When there is friction among the believers in this church age, it grieves the heart of God. And that's why the Lord's saying to the disciples that for the Lord to manifest Himself to those that belong to Him in a practical way depended upon the commandments that the believers obey and keep, because the Lord wishes His own to obey His word. And
you have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitan. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and Saturdays at 1 p.m., at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.